What song do you want to hear, Dan?
You are now listening to America's favorite craft beer podcast, a show that covers tricks, tips, and trends inside the craft beer industry. I am your host, craft beer enthusiast, Tom Simpson. Next to me, my co-host, a man with more untapped check-ins than you have steps on your Fitbit, the adjunct professor himself, Mr. Dan Holloway. Tune in, sit down, and drink up. And most importantly, thank you for joining us on another episode of America the Brew.
Guess I'll have to wait until then. And if I get drunk, well, I'll pass out on the floor now, baby. You won't bother me no more. And if you're drinking, well, you know that you're my friend, and I say...
Welcome to Season 4, Episode 12 of America the Brutiful. We have a really special episode this week. Years ago, when we started this podcast, one of our first interviews was with Bobby of Eskerhart. And we were lucky enough to try some of his beers. And over the last few years, we have tracked Bobby's progress from one of the best home brewers in the country to opening up Eskerhart Artisan Ales in Highbridge, New Jersey, this very weekend.
Right. This episode's going to be all about Eskerhart, and we're super excited to be here at what I think Marcel was the one who called it this. I'm not sure. I don't want to give credit to somebody, you know, whatever, but the Bear Den, as somebody called it, and I love
sketchy.
The name. Yeah.
I'm on board.
So we're obviously going to talk about Bobby's journey in craft beer, the opening of the brewery, the beers on draft for the opening weekend. But in this episode, we'll also talk to his wife, Brielle, who had a major role in creating the space we're in. Also, we have one of Bobby's earliest supporters and friend of the show stopping by as we look ahead to the opening.
Normally, this is the part of the show where I say, let's have our first beer. So let me welcome in Bobby, and then we'll have our first beer. Bobby, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys, and thank you for coming.
Dude, let me go off on a tangent here. Super, super excited about this space.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
You're in a great town. I know that probably 95% of people that are listening to this podcast maybe have never been to Highbridge. That's going to change.
Maybe 99%.
Maybe 99%.
We're hoping to change that for sure.
But Highbridge, great. I would say, small town America.
Exactly. Yep, a lot of great shops here. Local business is awesome. Everyone's super friendly. So we're really looking forward to being here. It's going to be a great time.
Nice. And Dan, what are we drinking right now?
Let Bobby take that away. I don't know why.
We are drinking Damra, which is Obscurity by the Sky Due to Haze. And it is a 9.2% double IPA with Citra and Nectaron hops.
Nice. It's very good.
Thank you.
And, you know, I think a lot of people, when they think Eskerhart, they think of darker beers, and we'll get into that conversation after, but this is fantastic. All right, some people who've listened to this podcast over the years are very familiar with your story, but there are likely some who don't know about you or Eskerhart or have tried any of your beers yet. So tell us how you got into beer and into brewing.
So I always give 100% credit to my good friend Randall Sonner. We're high school buddies, known him since eighth grade. And one day when I was 20, he was interning at a design firm in the Philly area. And his boss always had his homebrew on tap for everyone to kind of like responsibly drink while they're working. And
that's a good boss.
He's a good boss. Yeah. And he one day said, hey, my boss homebrews, do you want to try making our own beer? I was like, absolutely. And then we did it. Our first batch was an extract oatmeal stout. And contrary to most people's experiences, it came out really well. So it kind of encouraged me to keep going. And then I fell in love with it. Had maybe 10 terrible batches after that. But the first one was good. And so, yeah, Randall really, really kicked it off for me and the love for beer. So I'm very thankful that he showed it to me that day 10 years ago.
Now, you've been making a lot of beer for a long time, right? This has been a long process until you've gotten to this day. When do you feel like it really took off? Like, was there a specific beer or was there like a specific time period?
I think, funny enough, maybe a year after we started homebrewing, I went to Kane with my wife, well, my then girlfriend, now wife, Brielle, and I was looking around. I was like, this is pretty sweet. Like, this is what beer could be. And I think at that moment is when I really noticed, like, that there's something to be made in with beer, especially 10 years ago when it was just starting to, like, boom in this state, at least, and the whole country. So I think going in there, trying all of their wacky things that they had, I think Morning Bell was on. It was, like, the first time I ever had a coffee beer like that. And just seeing the space and seeing the big tanks and everything just got me excited, because I was always a kid that would, like, mix drinks at the table. You know, like, a chemist, but not really. So, like, making liquid from nothing. And I thought, like, when we went there and just enjoyed everything we had, and I thought, like, this could be cool. And then we just kept brewing and fell in love with it even more and more and more.
Now, at what point would you say, when you talk about, like, taking off, when did the buzz surpass how much beer you were making? I know most home brewers, they make beer, and they're just trying to give it away.
Sure.
Like, please try this. Please try it. At what point was it like, oh, more people want to try my beer than the amount of beer that I have?
Yeah, so Alex Kidd, Don't Drink Beer, I sent him a bottle of the very first Breakfast with Squatch, and he posted it, and that is what did it.
That did it.
Ever since then, I've fortunately had, like, some form of demand for it. So I've thanked him too for doing that, because had he never done that, I, who knows, might still be home brewing and not brewing professionally. But that post is what kind of kicked everything off, maybe 7 years ago, 6 years ago now, that was, I think.
And was that some kind of validation for you? Somebody like that, entrenched in the beer world, being like, hey, check this out, this is really good.
It was nice to finally get a non-biased opinion that, well, first of all, it was nice to get an opinion from anybody that was nice, but from someone who has no idea who it is and he's not afraid to shit on anything, it was nice to get that feedback from him. And it was awesome. So that's what really helped.
So I'm looking at the board over here of the what is to come on Saturday, and you've got, like, a pub ale, sour ale, lager, a bunch of different types of beer. You have a very diverse tap list.
Yes.
But you are best known for stouts and barley wines. Am I right?
You're right.
So what do you have over there? There's a couple things that are like, I'm like, damn, I just want to stick my mouth on that top handle. So,
do you want me to go through all of them, or do you want me to just pick a couple?
Well, what about the Sub Royal Time? Was that Sub Royal Time?
So Sub Royal Time and Predation are going to be a little teaser. Just a couple of high ABV, maybe barrel-aged, maybe not barrel-aged beers that will be on tap for opening. I'm going to leave it at that.
All right.
Maybe a little surprise. Very, very small amount of it to go around. So,
and you have the stout on.
Have the stout, yeah. So Welcome to the Forest is our first stout we brewed here. It was the second batch we ever made here, which was a big mistake, but we got through it. And it's a 12.5% imperial stout with toasted coconut and vanilla beans.
Now, Welcome to the Forest, a lot of your beers have a woodland theme.
Yes. Yep.
You know, what's up with that? Let's look at that.
Nothing wrong with wood.
Yeah. I honestly don't know where it started from. I think because my logo was always a bear. It's because my thing's always been a bear. I think just because that was nature, forest, woodland, I just said, you know what, my logo is going to be a bear head. We're going to keep everything forestry, woodland, specifically North American, forestry. and then we just rolled with it.
So this will be the grand opening of your brick and mortar, but technically you are already a professional brewer, and that happened when you linked up with 12%.
Yes.
What was that like, being able to get your beer made on a large scale and even seeing it in stores?
Terrifying and exciting all at the same time. Because then you're really left to the least amount of control you could possibly have. But it was great. So feedback's been mostly pretty good with the 12% beers. It's cool to see your beer all over the country, for sure. You see your label everywhere. A lot of the artwork I did myself. So it's cool to see people seeing your artwork. Like, it was cool.
Where? How far are your beers? They're not going to California.
They went to Hawaii.
Get the fuck. That's wild, dude.
Yeah, they sent
to
Hawaii.
How long did it? Because a lot of your beers that went in distro were IPAs.
I think it was maybe like 3 months later. But still cool to see them popping up in Hawaii. You know?
Of course.
That's very cool.
Now, how, you know, we talk about, and you're talking, you know, when you mention Alex Kidd and somebody you don't know giving a review of your beer, obviously, as a home brewer, you weren't able to give out huge batches of beer. Now when 12% happened, your beer started circulating more. You can make a bigger batch. You know, I don't know how observant you are about things like Untappd, but, you know, like how important was that to you to be like, oh, this is what people think, like, you know, not just my friends?
Yeah, I care a lot. I know a lot of people will say they don't check and they don't care and they don't want to know. I think you need to know, because if you make something that you think is great and everyone else thinks sucks, you shouldn't make it again. You know, I don't care how much you love it. So I check regularly. I check all the time. I need to know what people are saying, mostly because, listen, 99% of the time, if something's wrong with the beer, I know it. Or if someone's unhappy with something, I already know it, and I am going to fix it for the next time. But I think it's really important to read feedback. Obviously, there are going to be people that are just assholes, and it is what it is, and you get through it. But I think it's important to check. It means a lot because, you know, you don't want to have a shitty repertoire.
Yeah. And when you know, when you ask your friends and family, it's really, really
Everything's
going to
be great.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Or it's going to, yeah, it's going to be really difficult to get, like, honest feedback.
Yes.
And specific feedback.
And that's why asking another brewer specifically is usually a great tell of how something is.
And are they usually honest, other brewers?
Most of the time. Or they'll say it's good, but, you know. So most of the time it is really good constructive criticism from a brewer.
Recently, you did two really awesome stout collabs with Alternate Ending, and you did several collabs with Counterpart Brewing in Niagara Falls, Canada. How helpful was it brewing on their systems, and what did you learn from those experiences?
So, brewing with all of those guys was great. Obercreek specifically they're very similar in size to me. So it was nice to see them, was that 2 years ago now? See them brew, because I was able to kind of dig back into my brain to remember what they did on their stuff, so that was nice. But doing it with Alternate Ending and Counterpart, it was nice to see recipes that we collaborated on that stemmed a lot from my base stout recipe come to life, really, in a large scale and be as successful as they were. I think Decision just came out really well from Counterpart. And we did that 5 years ago now.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
That's
wow, really? Crazy.
Yeah. The first batch was 5 years. We brewed it. And then the most recent double barrel was that same batch. But just it took them 5 years to get it out, which was awesome.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. And then even with Alternate Ending, seeing Pecan Bear come out, which I still haven't had.
Oh, you should have told me I would have.
I have a bottle of
fridge. Okay.
But seeing people really enjoying that.
And it, I thought the friendship really awesome one you did was...
Yeah.
That one was hot. I mean,
no,
so
that
good.
That one came out like super molasses-y, fudge brownie. Yeah. It was really nice. So it was cool to see those two beers come together. Because those, at least with Counterpart, I had never brewed anything close to my recipe on a big system before. And to see it so successful was pretty cool.
Were you nervous at all? Like, is this going to scale well?
I think we were all nervous because they were so new. They were... I think open a month or two before we went to brew that big beer. And so we were all nervous. With AE, not so much because they had already been open for a while and they knew their system, but we were all learning up there while I was still learning my own stuff. So it was pretty crazy up in Canada, but
it's a way to do it.
It worked. It's a way to do it. Throw yourself in the fire. That's what I do.
Yeah, I mean, if it was really that bad, you could have dumped it out and not told anybody.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and you know, for reference for people who may not have heard of Counterpart, and you say up there and in Canada, Niagara Falls, Canada.
Yep.
You know, I feel like a lot of times us in the U.S., we don't know much about the Canadian breweries, but they've been putting out some stuff with really good ratings.
Yep.
A lot of it is collabs with you. A lot of their anniversary beers were beers that they did with you. So yes. I was actually able to get the whole set of the anniversary beer. So I'm actually looking forward to trying those.
Nice. Very good. You've often said that you're your own worst critic, which is good, I think.
It's good and not good.
Yeah, no.
And my wife is my other worst critic.
Well, that's very good.
It's also very good.
Yeah. I mean, we will talk to her more about that, because I know there's a few things that you've both told me about beer and her thoughts on beer. So we'll get into that a little bit later.
My wife is a big critic of me, too. And I know that Dan, who is soon to be married, probably also in the same boat.
Yeah. That's fair to say.
Keeps you driving.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So how happy are you with the beers you have for the grand opening?
I'm very happy. It's been interesting brewing here for the first few batches, so it's been a learning curve, more so with the system. But I'm pretty happy. Everything came out almost how I had hoped it would come out.
What is, like, you know, if you had to pick one beer on that board for people coming in here that they have to try?
So that's a tough one. I think I'm most happy with Brim, which is our American lager, because I had no idea what to expect brewing a lager here, and I thought it came out pretty good for just brewing a light American lager. And honestly, the Pub Ale Lodge, I had never brewed. I've brewed lagers before, but I had never brewed a Pub Ale. All we would do in Canada at brew school was brew milds and alt beers and English bitters, and it drove me away, because, like, that's what we would practice on, because they were cheap to make, so the teaching brewery didn't have to spend a lot of money, so they just keep pumping out these milds, pumping them out, and I hated it, because at the end of the day, I'm like, all I'm drinking is milds. So I never really wanted to make them, but then I wanted to make one, and I'm pretty happy with how it came out.
And
it
they're
was
like,
fun.
They're
and
like,
it's easy.
And they're, like, in style now, man.
They're in style.
Dan loves a good mild.
He
doesn't like to admit it, but he loves it.
English mild, they do.
And it's a shame, because I liked them until I had to brew them constantly when we wanted to brew other things, but at the end of the day, I think it worked.
So I think you alluded to this. You know, you mentioned how you started home brewing, but now you're talking about some of the formal teaching. So tell us a little bit about that.
In brew school?
Yeah.
So I studied at Niagara College Teaching Brewery. It was a 16-month program, so basically 2 years back-to-back. And basically it was the science of brewing, running a brewery, equipment learning, and then hands-on brewing in the teaching brewery. So they had like 1 5-hectoliter system, which I think is like 4-ish barrels. I think that's the conversion. And then they had, I believe it was 8. Don't quote me on that. 8 like 1-barrel brew houses that all the students would brew on. So like 3 people would be picked to brew on the 5-hectoliter system, and then the rest of the class would brew whatever batches they were brewing on the little systems, and we would combine maybe 2 of the little ones into 1 fermenter, 2 into another. So we would all kind of just practice the same thing at the same time, and that was cool. A lot of things we learned that probably shouldn't have learned, but like, I don't know, I have mixed feelings about that, but working at a brewery here was a lot more informative sometimes, but learning the science and everything there was really great.
So it just is crazy to me, the irony. You go to, because you obviously you lived up there, you didn't commute, right?
But
you're
going, basically commuted, but no, I didn't.
You're going to college to brew beer.
Yeah.
What is that dorm life like up there?
Oh, none of us lived in dorms.
Oh,
we all lived in like our separate apartments, because I was the youngest at 21 or 22.
Well, it makes sense.
I was the youngest.
I don't think they allow you in if you're
up there. It's 19. I think it's 19.
You're right. It is 19 up there.
I was the youngest in my class of, I think, 12. I think it was. So, I mean, we're all brewers. We all went out and drank a lot all the time. But yeah, I just lived in an apartment like in the middle of nowhere.
Nice. Very good.
We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back. We're going to try some other beers. That's all coming up right after this. And welcome back. Season 4, Episode 12, America the Brutiful. We are back with Bobby, but we are also with the other half, no pun intended, of Eskerhart, Brielle. Brielle, welcome.
Hi, thank you guys so much for having me this time.
Thanks for joining us.
We are, we're excited to be here. Before we start, because we do have some questions for you, Bobby brought out some beers, and I'm not going to have him not talk about this stout that's in front of us. Mm-hmm. So, Bobby, tell us about this stout.
So, this is Welcome to the Forest. It is our introduction into the brewery, hence the name. It's a 12.5% Imperial Stout with Madagascar vanilla beans and toasted coconut.
Beautiful. Love it. That's what you want, right? in a stout. Tom, I know you got some questions, and I know, actually, let's start here, Tom. I'm going to have you throw off on this. The aesthetic here, part of this is partially you're involved.
Yeah, this question's a bit self-serving.
Exactly. A little bit. Tom's wood.
So, yeah, that's right. That's right. Thanks. Let me clarify that for a second. So we'll talk about the tap room. I know a lot of the aesthetic here is influenced by you, Brielle. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about how the brewery looked when you signed the papers and all the changes that have been made?
Sure, absolutely. I think it's a tremendous difference. When we first came in, it was more of an eclectic feel, kind of with some, I don't know, gray, galvanized metal here and there. It was lighter in color, tan walls, and a lot of mixed-matched furniture. Just definitely not our style. So when we came in, we knew for all of these years of thinking, planning, dreaming, that we wanted to have something dark. We both like dark colors, but we want it to be inviting.
Dark and moody.
Dark and moody.
If all there the walls could be black, they would be.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But we figured it might be a teensy bit too much black. So most of our walls are painted black. I think it gives a really cozy vibe. And we have the perfectly imperfect floor that it was a complete accident by the previous owners. So it used to just be covered with linoleum. They ripped it up. And it looks like this now, so I hope everyone, when they see it, they will appreciate that it's leftover glue.
This floor is great. I'll tell you why this floor, in my opinion, is great, because you have some texture. It's not like a solid black, and it's indestructible.
Indestructible.
Exactly.
Bad for maybe beer glasses, great for you guys, and minimal maintenance.
It's
over
been
the
tested
years.
This week, past weekend on beer glasses.
It's failed. The beer glass is one point up.
Why don't we talk about
one in one? One in one. One in one. It's tied.
We talk about the wood a little bit.
The
here,
wood,
Brielle.
What your wood. So we envisioned having, since we're really woodland based, that there was no doubt that wood had to enter the aesthetic here. So the first thing that we wanted to start off with was some wood slices that you're going to see. It's one of the most visual pieces when you walk in, we couldn't end there. And you were gracious enough to be able to give us an idea of how to make a couple other accent walls that were really important. I'm going to let you take that one over now, because those are super special for you.
That was a lot of fun. We're sitting here drinking at this black walnut live edge table, which you guys finished, sanded.
Yes.
Beautiful. Good traction for beer glasses.
Perfect.
There's not
traction.
Too much sliding off of this. I always post about mushroom wood, right? Bobby, you follow my account, Chisel and Loom, the company. And I always post about mushroom wood. Bobby's like, hey, that's really nice. I love the look. So that was around the time you were opening your brewery. And I ended up, I'm like, hey, listen, I'm going out to Ohio. There's mushroom wood is in abundance out there. Let me grab some pieces. I'll bring it back. I literally went out to a Mennonite's farm out in Ohio and drove back here from there. It's like an 8-hour journey. And before I stopped home, I stopped here and dropped off this mushroom wood, told them how to finish it. Bobby, you made it look, and Brielle, you made it look fantastic.
Thank you.
It really is a warm, cozy place. And it's not like hokey, rustic. It's
Wait,
like...
So you dropped off wood and you guys did everything
yourself?
They did everything. Really?
Tables, everything.
Wow. I didn't know that. So that's,
yes, everything.
Usually I know the answers to the questions I'm going to ask, but not this one. I had no idea.
Bar front, tables, walls, everything. We did everything.
And Bob, you told me, you're like, I found these live edge slabs, on the side of the, on the side of the road. Somebody that was slabbing them up. And I just remember being like, shit, that's going to be tough.
And we did okay.
It looks great.
We got bow ties in. They're not splitting any more than they were.
You got legs on them, and they're level.
They're and that's level-ish.
Yeah,
level enough for beer glasses.
Yeah,
they've warped with gravity to where all the legs sit on the ground, which is in our favor.
There you go. And they're not going anywhere now. They've been here long enough.
They're good.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
All right. So Brielle, how can I say this? I know you don't really love beer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but, I don't.
But, but you're a huge part of Asker Heart. You know, you guys have been together over the years. How has it been? I know that, especially in this state, going from homebrewer to achieving the dream is very difficult. It's very timely. It's very cost-consuming. And you've been there with Bobby throughout mm-hmm. the time. Like, just go through that a little bit. Like, that journey from, okay, I want to do this. Okay, this is tough. Like, just talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's definitely been a journey. I mean, starting out watching him just kind of dabbling around with friends, having fun, to, you know, talking about figuring out a name and like what resonates with him, drinking beer, deciding to go away to Canada for school, which was humongous. You know, I think that really solidified how serious he was to go to another country, even if it's just over the border, and hang out there to learn his craft. It's really the coolest thing in the world to watch somebody have a dream and then actually watch that dream come to fruition. A lot of stressful days of thinking, oh, I don't know if this is going to happen. It seems too difficult. You know, did I miss the mark of when there was a boom of the craft beer scene? And God, terrible real estate market. So how the heck do you find a place to make this happen and start that whole process up? So to be here today, sitting at our tables that we made in a space that I think completely speaks to him, his vision is like, I don't think you could top that. It is the most incredible thing, truly.
I'm actually glad that you brought that up because, you know, there's so many companies, breweries that got involved in this because of the fact that it was trendy.
Yeah.
Because the fact that they were like on the, maybe they had the capital on the right side of the bubble to invest in something. But that, to me, I honestly feel like it doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter, like, if you can sell the cheapest beer. It doesn't, what matters is, like, is if you're passionate about it. And then it really doesn't matter what side of the bubble that you're on. No, that, you know, what's going to resonate with people is the fact that you're doing something and you're putting something out there that's making like a corner of the world a better place.
Sure.
Right. Okay. So like, you know, it's interesting. I'm sure that you realize that like over time, now that you're here, you probably would have never done this if you didn't realize that. But, you know, that's like where I see you guys, right? I see you guys as like, you know, having your heart and soul in this and making something that everybody's really excited about. Right.
Absolutely.
And that like for me, like the trend doesn't really matter, right? The trend
sure.
doesn't matter. People can be like, you know what, craft beer was cool back in 2020, yep. but they're still gonna love Asker Heart, you know?
Absolutely. I sure hope so.
No.
Bobby's very humble, but everything he does extreme, but in a good way. He literally, the saying of pouring your heart and soul into something describes him perfectly, and he won't be the one to say it, but all of his family, myself, watching him, like, you know, the tough nights, the trying to make, you know, the best product possible, which, you know, he's not going to put something out that he doesn't like, or if something is like a little off, you know, we're talking about it behind scene and he's trying to figure out, okay, well, how do I make this better? I want people to be happy. I want to be happy. So he takes this very seriously and absolutely takes every ounce of it, from beer to decor to the customer service end of things, incredibly seriously.
And he's got a great support system.
I do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right answer. all right. Question to both of you. We're talking a little bit about this place here. Tell us about how you came across this place. Like, how did this, the place that we are sitting at, become Asker Heart?
So a previous employee told a friend of ours about it, and he told us, and that night, told us that they were closing. And that night, I reached out to the employee, who then gave me the okay to reach out to the owner. And within 3 days, 2 days,
really
we were
fast.
Here to see it. Supposedly, there was interest with other parties, both for the brewery and for just the space with the landlord. So, like, it was a very fast turnaround. I think within 3 weeks we were signing the lease.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of pressure
it was,
to make
it was
the
sign,
call.
Sign or leave, basically. Not from the previous owner, but the landlord, who has been very great to us. Just, you know, he could get someone else in here tomorrow. But
Just business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But fortunately, we were able to get in time. We were able to get financial, everything in together in like 3 weeks. It was like a wacky 3 weeks.
You didn't just give him like a bottle? Just be like, yeah, just drink this. Give me some time.
If only it could be that simple.
I wish.
This is the last bottle of Bear. Do you understand how much this is worth?
Oh, man, I wish. But it all worked out. It was a little crazy for those 3 weeks, but we got it. And
got the keys on July 1st.
July 1st, yeah.
Now, this place had a little bit of a background. Something crazy happened here that some of the craft beer nerds might find, you know, might know about.
Yeah.
You want to touch on that at all?
Yeah, I don't know too much. All I know is that a car drove right through the corner of the building from corner to corner.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we weren't kidding before when car drove through.
Went through the...
He went from there to there. Like, all those fermenters, they were not the original ones. They're all new.
Oh, my God.
The nose of the car was there, and apparently the wheel was still spinning.
The wheel was still spinning because supposedly the gas pedal got stuck, and it was an older man, and just went right through. And they had the grill of the car hanging on the wall.
Part of that eclectic decor.
Well, you should.
We inherited it, and I said, I don't want this.
We don't need that
juju in here. I threw it out.
Okay. Right.
It could be a long lost tale one day.
So hopefully we don't have that luck, and we are car free inside the brewery.
Hopefully, the only thing that's driving a lot of sales.
Exactly right.
So, what do you want the experience to be like when you have? You know, you're gonna have like big time. Neckbeard beer nerds coming in here, and you're gonna have like your casual drinker from Highbridge that just wants to come hang out in town.
Sure.
What do you want it to be like when they come in here?
Do you want to take this one?
I'll say something. Yeah. You can add. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's different background from me because I'm not the average beer drinker, but I think I want people to feel welcomed and comfortable. You know, the community is really awesome, so being able to just have this casual kind of setting, you know, that has, I'm hoping, an appealing aesthetic to people, especially at night, you get really cozy. I just want people to be comfortable and be able to kind of sit back and say, like, oh, wow, like, this all works for me. It's all coming together, beer, look, and just, you know, maybe even benefit from the town that we're so lucky to be a part of.
Yeah, we really wanted a space where... You can come, you can hang out for a while, you're comfortable, and you, I don't know the right way to say it, but basically, like, you don't feel pressured to leave, you know? Sometimes you go into a brewery, it's, like, extremely loud, it's bright, it's an industrial setting, so, like, you come in, you do your thing, and you leave. We want, especially for the locals, because the locals are really important in Highbridge, we wanted a space where they could come in and spend a few hours, and, like, our chairs... Very comfortable, I think.
Very comfortable. We've gotten a few compliments about those so far.
Especially compared to the chairs that were here. So we wanted an inviting space that fit our aesthetic, yet not driving people away, if that makes any sense. Which is why we're not playing super heavy metal music anymore.
Wait, do you say that? Is that a bad thing or a good thing?
I was pushing hard for it, and everyone's telling me not to do it, so we're not doing it. But
I think it depends on the night, you know?
Yeah, I know, you're on my side.
Dad's totally biased.
No. I mean, just hear me out here. All right.
Yeah, I will.
Listen, if it's a day where you can tell that it is the craft beer nerd day,
then it's fine.
Where there's a ton of people, maybe you have a bottle release and people are here, maybe you put some special beer on tap, people are here, and it's not the locals. A lot of them like, you know, different music, play to their aesthetic, you know, play to what they like.
It seems like Brielle has different opinions.
Me and Dan are the 1% here. Let me say that.
Yeah, I think just the appeal to the mass is some easy listening, but also I don't love beer and I don't love that music as much, so I'm okay with some of the tunes that everyone
we found
would
a happy
like.
Medium.
I'm good. Yeah,
maybe a little yacht rock every once in a while. Never hurt anybody.
Caught me off guard. Yacht
rock. Yeah, wasn't prepared for that comment.
Did I throw you a curveball?
Yeah, total curveball.
Doobie Brothers, Rod Stewart.
Okay. Thank you. Some clarification.
All right. You know, I was here for the soft opening. And like one thing that you guys both mentioned was how nice the people in town have been.
Yes.
Right. And it's a nice little town here. I got a bite to eat across the street at the coffee shop before coming here.
Oh, because, good, I'm glad.
You know, you want a little something in your tummy.
What do they have at the coffee shop, bite to eat? What do they have? What are they serving?
Honestly, they have a bunch of stuff.
They do.
If you get here early enough on a weekend, they have, like, different avocado toasts and things like that.
Which are really good.
Oh, very really?
Good. Yeah.
I got, like, a wrap. I got a breakfast wrap. They actually have, like, a decent amount of food there. Obviously, a bunch of coffee. But you can definitely have a lunch there if you go at the right time.
Nice.
Shout out to the coffee shop, apparently.
Scout's Coffee Bar.
We love Scouts.
Go there.
There you go. There's also a pizza shop right across the street. You mentioned Scouts. The woman from the coffee shop came by after they closed, because they closed a little early, and came by and, like, dropped you guys off some baked goods, which I thought was super nice. How excited are both of you to call this town home?
I think
to call Esterhart part of Highbridge?
We're very excited. We've always wanted to be, like, not that this is a woodsy area, but when you talk about a downtown, you don't think of somewhere that is kind of nestled in the woods, which I think Highbridge is. I mean, once you go north, south, east, and west, it's mostly woodland-ish.
From Union County? Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's not concrete. So, you know, once you make a right up the street, you're going into Columbia Trail, and, like, it's cozy, so... This is a good home for us. We're kind of getting the best of both worlds, yeah. You know.
Definitely a best of both worlds, because we always thought about, you know, kind of being in our own little, you know, farmy space and, like, away from, you know, the beaten path. But it turns out that being in the heart of a town that is so, so excited for us and has been nothing but welcoming, like, in all of the best ways, I think it's a great way to start out and attract some folks and serve a community who really wants us here, apparently.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And, you know, wow, let me just do it. You're not really that far from Hot Dog Johnny's either.
No, technically not.
Great play, great day trip. Like, if I'm coming out here, especially in the fall.
Still never been to Hot Dog Johnny's.
Yep. Yeah.
I know. Sad.
We're not gonna put that on. We're gonna cut that part out.
Try to edit that out.
Hot Dog Johnny's. Come over to Bobby's and Brielle's, and then, you know, go fuck off, whatever you want to do.
Sure, sure. So I was here for the soft opening. So a few things about that. I mean, it was great to see it was like the who's who of local craft beer here. You know, a lot of the people, you had a few brewers here. You had a lot of the people that you know in New Jersey. You know, how nice was it to see that, the craft beer community come together for the soft opening?
It was awesome. I mean, I like seeing it from my perspective, you know, to watch all the people who Bobby has formed relationships over the years, like way before he even, like, I guess would consider himself a titled home brewer, and just how supportive they've been, how excited they've been, show up to this event, like what everyone, all of us have been waiting for. So it was a little bit of another surreal kind of recognition of, like, wow, we're not at just like an event pouring something, or he's giving out the homebrew, that they're in our space and cheering him on like they always have. So that was awesome for me to witness.
Man, it was cool to see, like, my family, not my immediate family, but, like, my cousins, my aunts and uncles. My family are not beer drinkers. They're not drinkers in general. So
it's not just me.
Yeah, it's like everybody. Even my parents, well, my mom will... likes to.
She loves this stout.
Yeah.
She's
good mom.
But my dad doesn't drink so much. And it was nice to see everyone, like, having a pint, you know, and enjoying it, and not, and at the end of the day, not just doing it because it was me, because they actually enjoyed having it. So it was cool to kind of let them branch out a little bit rather than just constantly hearing me say, I'm brewing beer today or whatever, you know. They finally got to see the end result, which they haven't seen for 10 years.
Yeah, a lot of his family is just aware that he does this.
And has never had anything.
Yeah, never experienced
the barley wines.
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
Really?
No, none of them are. Like, for my grandpa, for example, which we have a little homage to him, my great-grandfather worked for, I'm going to get shot for forgetting the name of it, but the company he worked for, they made some of the original clarification
chemicals, ingredients.
It's not really chemicals, but yeah, components to clarifying beer. So they would make these syrups. Yeah, I just learned about this not that long ago.
He's sitting right over there in a framed photo.
Yeah.
So we have a whole little section kind
of
dedicated to him.
I went 10 years without knowing that he worked with beer. And
yeah, we are not sure how that one slipped under the rug.
Yeah, so there's a cool little photo of him, like, filling a barrel a wood barrel of their...
That's
exactly,
amazing.
Yeah,
right? That's amazing.
So it's in the blood. But yeah. So it was nice to see like him come, try the beer, and enjoy it. And it was really cool.
So, Brielle, did you always know that Bobby was going to be a brewer?
No.
Because you guys met a long time ago, right?
Long time ago. We were seniors in high school.
Supposed to be a graphic designer. That's what I was supposed to be.
You've made some amazing labels.
Thank you.
Are your labels that you're going to make here for upcoming beers going to be your own designs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
They're going to have some of the same aesthetic as some of the
That abstracted
ones?
Photography.
You're going to get a lot of animals in there?
Yes.
Nice. I like that.
Yep.
That was a weird question, I know, but I love
it. No, that's okay.
That's a good question.
I was going to let it go.
He does it all. I mean, between making the space, brewing the beer, and he does his labels. I mean, how cool is that to be able to have that many different skills? Sorry, I'm bragging on him. But, you know, I think it's really cool that he has that skill set that everything is his.
Yeah.
Very, and it's cool looking.
Very clutch when it comes to
seriously,
having a small
right?
business. That's good.
Don't brag.
It's fun.
That's good. So... soft opening, you guys had it this past weekend. I'm sure that you learned some lessons, I guess would be a simple way to say that. Is there anything differently that, you know, you're going to adjust and pivot for the grand opening?
We're kind of just going for it, man, at this point. I think we did pretty decent soft opening. Again, it was friends and family, so it was kind of hard to, you know, judge. The biggest thing was the soap dispenser. If you want me to be honest.
Yep, the soap dispenser.
Got a lot of feedback that soap dispenser sucks.
That's like nitpicking.
It was. Yeah. But you know what? I like that. Because if you're nitpicking about our soap dispenser and nothing else,
that's good.
That's the best compliment ever.
So we nixed that. Behind the bar, there's some like things that we want to work on for opening. But we're so small that there's only so much you can do. You know, so we're just going to throw ourselves into the fire and hopefully we come out unburned at the end of it.
You know? Now, I was here for kind of the earlier portion of the soft opening. At the peak, what was the most people that were here for the soft opening? And, you know...
50.
ironically, capacity of the brewery. you know, are you prepared for what Saturday may be as far as how many people might come out?
Probably not.
I like the honesty.
I don't know. We really don't know what to expect. We're hoping... Listen, I hope we're not. I hope it's a great turnout and that we're inundated and that it's wild. But at the end of the day, will we have to say, you got to wait, maybe? You know? My dad will be at the door, my sister will be at the door, just kind of like saying, hold on a second, you know? We'll see. I don't know. Again, because the town is so supportive, we're expecting an influx from them. Plus, like, friends. I know half of the people that came last weekend are coming again to support. So it's, I don't know. We'll find out.
One little story that I loved from the soft opening, I was here, and whoever was at the door came up to you at one point, and they said, oh, Mr. So-and-so is here. And you're like, I don't know who that is. And they said, oh, yeah, he's from town. He just wanted to know if he could stop in. And you're like, sure. You know, is it going to be...
Mr. Donnelly, I think his name was.
Oh, hi.
My mom said it. He was alone and wanted to try beer, so sure, come on in, you know? The town was really good with not trying to come in. Because as we talked before, it's funny how many people have tried to just walk in. And many have just walked in while we're closed, like while I'm just working. But ironically, for our soft opening, nobody tried except for maybe like four people.
Mr. Donnelly being one, shout out.
Who
Mr. Donnelly.
I didn't see. I didn't
even
see.
I don't
see
even know
him.
Who this person is. I guess
I don't
we're
even
meet
know
him.
If he came in, but he was more than welcome to come in. But so, you know, if you're excited enough to come try my beer, I'm not going to shy you away from it. You
of
know?
Course, of course.
Especially if you're just one person.
So. Let me ask you this. Let's say that, you know, you're going to be open Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
yes.
Right? And every day that you're packed, selling out beer. I mean, what's the five-year plan for Bobby and Brielle in terms of this space? You know,
where
are you taking Esquerhart?
So the plan here is to basically double the capacity. That's pretty much as we can do here. I want a new brew house as soon as possible within the next year. Five barrel brew house, so 2.5. More automated.
You can do that here. Or you're saying no?
No. I think I could do it here.
Okay.
It's going to be tight, but I think I could do it.
Basically, just make like another row of.
No, mostly the brew house, and then I might get 2 10-barrel fermenters in here, and that's okay. The 10-barrels will hopefully be like to get a canning line in here, not my own, just like the what are they called? The
like a rental.
Yeah, the ones that come in.
Contract.
Yeah. So we can get some cans out because we're hoping to do crowlers by the summer. Thank you, Colin. And he'll understand that. And so that's part of the 1 to 2 year plan. 5 year plan. Ideally, we want to open, not a farm, but we want to live on a farm. And
lots of land.
We want land, and we want to subdivide that land to have a brewery on it. But I also still want this space because it's in this downtown and it's great. And I feel like we're going to get really nested in here and not really want to leave. So ideally, we'll have this, if the laws are changed here, we could just keep this for a tap room and just have the beer being brewed elsewhere. But until that happens, right now we're cozy here. But that's the plan, is to one day have like a actual farm brewery, maybe grow like fruits for our sour beer that we might be able to do there, mixed culture stuff, and live there. That's the 5 to 10 year.
Maybe some vanilla bean.
Maybe some vanilla bean.
I think, you know, they grow great around here. All right, we're gonna take a break. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna have some more beer. All that's coming up right after this.
Can you be so warm? Can you know what I feel? But it's the way you move your hands, and it's the way you understand, and that's the reason that I'm asking.
And welcome back, season 4, episode 12 of America the Brutiful. We are here with one of Asghar Hart's, I don't know, long-time fans, long-time followers.
Friends.
Long-time friend as well, sure. And that is Scott, also known as Lorenzo the Beer Cat on Instagram. Scott, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry I'm late.
That's okay. Do not, if you're coming to the Asghar Hart Grand Opening, use IMAPs. Waze is good. Google Maps is good. Apple Maps, if you use Apple Maps. Maybe don't use Apple Maps.
Until they clear this up. So the story goes that I've actually been here before Bobby and Brielle opened up. We stopped by and saw it just really right before you were getting your certification.
Yeah,
you're getting clearance. Before, yeah. And so I've been here. And I'm running from a baseball game, and I just throw in Apple Maps, Asghar Hart. How many Asghar Hart artisanal ales could there be? And it takes me, I didn't even look at the part where it says Clinton, and it drives me right down to Main Street in Clinton, and I'm like, something's not right. There's a bridge. There's water. I don't think this is it. And I put it back into my phone. Nope, that's it. I'm like, oh, no, it's not. I'm looking at 20 Main Street. That's not that's not the brewery. So I go to Google Maps, and 8 minutes later, I'm here.
So no IMAPs. Again, people, do not use IMAPs.
Google's good.
Google or Waze. I used Waze, got me here.
That's great. you were both late, as far as I'm concerned. But that's fine.
I was late.
That's fine.
So was Scott.
So you're right. Scott.
Just wait till your kid has some school activities, some things, you know.
Listen, he's got enough. He's got enough right now. But Scott, you knew Bobby way back when.
I'm trying to think of how many years.
It's been a long time.
Five, six.
Yeah.
So how did you first get introduced to Bobby's beers?
I was at a friend's house. My friend Mark and Ryan was there. Our mutual friend from that did a lot of the signage in here, Liquid Metalworks. Shout out Ryan. And I was at his house. We were having just a hangout. We were just sharing some beers, and he whipped out this crazy cotton candy sour. Great cotton candy grape sour, and I'm like, who the hell is this? Like, I think I know something about beer. I know everybody. And you're like, oh, it's this guy Bobby, and it's Asghar Hart. I'm like, Bobby Asghar? He's like, no, his name's not Bobby Asghar. And trying to explain it all to me, and I went home, followed him on, started stalking him on Instagram, and then next thing I know is going to Bridgewater every other week and picking up beer from his parents' garage. You literally just pull up to his parents' house. Yep. There would be a cooler in the garage. You'd walk into the garage. I'd leave beer. I don't know if left beer. I'd always leave you beer, and then I'd take a bottle of whatever he had going out, whether it was... I'm trying to think of some of the first ones.
I think my parents met you more than I did for the first times.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I'd just get scared by his mom, and she's like, "Are you the one with the cats?" I'm like, "Yeah, my daughter loves your cats." And I'm like, "Okay. I don't have them. Let me get out of your garage."
So what was the first beer you had, the one that you were like...
I loved it, yeah. And I don't know if you've really duplicated it. You've tried.
Oh, yeah, it was a different beer, yeah. Hives on Mountaintop was the first one. A Bud Break was the second one of that.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, and honestly, I think every drop that he had for a couple of years, he would include me on, and we... I mean, Amber and Brielle and Bobby, we just became friends. We'd hang out at their house with their big old dogs. And... that's it. The rest is history. Now they're here. Now we've been waiting for this moment forever, and I couldn't be more proud, more happy for them. Couldn't happen to two better people. And the place is absolutely gorgeous. And I know the beer is going to be fire because he's never made a bad beer.
All right. This is a perfect question for you, Scott. The craft beer world has changed quite a bit. It's something we've talked about. Gone are the days of waking up on Saturday at 5 a.m., maybe 4 a.m., maybe earlier, to get in line at Other Half.
Yes.
Or Hudson Valley, or whatever other brewery, Equilibrium. But people still go to breweries a lot. Yeah. Not present company excluded. To me, it seems like more people are at breweries on non-release days than maybe they used to be. How mob do you think this will be when they release Big Stout on a Saturday, on a Saturday?
I think it's going to be busy. I mean, I don't know what they're expecting in terms of lines. I don't know how they're handling, you know, selling the bottle. I haven't really heard that about that. But I saw the soft opening. I was at another baseball game for my son, so I wasn't able to be here on Saturday. But I'll be here Saturday. Amber and I are going to come down, so I'll let you know after that. I can only imagine it's going to be busy. I know that people have been waiting. Listen, there's people trying to get in the door.
I'm going to speak for Bobby
every time I'm here.
I'm going to speak for Bobby. These guys would not be foolish enough to... They have a grand opening. They've got enough to worry about. I'm talking about in the weeks to come.
I'm talking
about the weeks to come.
I thought you meant this Saturday. No, I'm like, okay.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
They're not doing that. I'm telling you, in the weeks to come when they, you know, what is it going to look like in here?
What else is close? There's nothing else around here. This area is dying for it. It's a cute little main street. I think they're going to do great. There's enough space. There's definitely enough seating. The only real question is, I've said it to Bobby, is are you going to be able to brew enough beer? You know, honestly. And he's like, don't worry about that part.
All right. Glad you're not worried about it.
Maybe you are worried about it now. I don't know.
Are you concerned about that at all, Bobby?
Slightly.
He hadn't brewed his first batch on the system when he made that comment to me, like, oh, I'll do it. And then I started following along, like, oh, wow, he's definitely on this smaller system. You have to do multiple batches and things like that to just get...
I brewed as much as I physically could have for opening. So hopefully that was enough.
If it's not, that's
a good problem.
That means get here early.
Yeah.
We will not run out of beer on opening week.
You sure about that?
Yeah, no, I'm sure about that.
All right.
That would be, the whole town of Highbridge will be shit-faced if that was the case.
Take it over unders on that?
Yes.
You know.
Well, there is no to-go, right? I mean, besides that bottle?
There's no to-go.
There's not doing growler fills or anything like that, so it's like...
All right, so what are your impressions of the brewery so far? You're here, you're checking it out. You've been here, but even over the last week, there have been a lot of changes aesthetically to the brewery. Obviously, all the draft lines are in. The draft board is up. What are your main impressions? You've probably been to more breweries than almost anybody I know.
Well, I'll give Amber a shout-out here because Amber said it's got Brielle written all over it. And Amber is like, she thinks that Brielle's got the best taste. She always compliments her on her house and her aesthetic and, you know, how she decorates. So I didn't see the lights on. I know that they're not really going to stay, right? Or you don't know yet?
For now.
Oh, I like the lights.
I said I like the lights, and he's like, we're taking those down.
For now, they're not.
Yeah. I mean, I hadn't seen it at night, so I hadn't really seen it lit up. They were still, you know, kind of cleaning and getting everything together. But it is definitely Bobby and Brielle from the wood tables and the rustic feel. It's definitely what I would expect. So,
what is your favorite beer that Bobby's made? You've had a ton of them over the years. Out of all the beers that you have made over the years, like that Bobby's made, do you have one that sticks out to you as like, you know what, this one is the one I like the most?
I think Bear was probably the one thing that put him in people's mouths. Like people were talking about, I brought that. I would get requests from, you know, guys at Other Half for Bobby's beer, and I would put him in touch, and I would bring them. Bobby would give me an extra bottle, and I would bring it down for them to try there. That beer just kind of sticks in my mind as something that always, you know, there was Spirit of the Bear too, which was that really tiny small bottle that he did, and I got like a little bit amped up for some bigger bottle so that I can share it. That was like a barley wine, right?
That was a barley wine.
That was amazing. Stellar J was amazing. Those were the ones. It's always his big stouts. It's always the ones that I kind of was drawn to. I mean, Mandola, the first one that he did for Jose's event was ridiculous. And that wasn't even barrel aged, right?
First one was.
I've had the pleasure of like brewing a beer with Bobby, like not brewing it, like helping him carry grain out to his backyard. So I've seen the process.
You're welcome to carry the grain. Yeah.
So I know what goes into it, and how long his boils are, and how much time and effort. I know when he went to 12% to try that out, how, you know, particular he was about how the process was going to be there, and that's what he never sacrificed anything, a part of how he wants his beer to be done, even at a bigger, you know, production facility like 12%, and that's, I really admired him for that part of it, and I thought all the beers that came out of 12% were legit. I think they just had a bottle, right? Conveniently just released a bottle. I got an email about that.
Yeah, I'm the only one who didn't get the email, but I knew it was coming out.
I'm like, oh, that's convenient. The day that Bobby does a soft opening, there's an email from 12%. You know, whatever that was, but that's kind of something that will stick in my head that Bobby will not sacrifice in terms of ingredients, how he wants the beer to come out, and I don't anticipate that ever being an issue here.
So, I mean, as you said, I thought Bear, and I told you this, Bobby, having that was like just one of the best maple beers I'd ever had in my life.
Thank you.
You know, and I've had quite a bit of beer. Go on, Tom. Sounds like you want to say
something. I'm sorry. I missed a couple minutes there. But are we talking about Bobby's favorite beer?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking
about? Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Are you you're going to say the barley one?
No, he's going to say Spirit of the Bear.
Yeah.
Spirit of the Bear.
I did mention
Spirit
that
of the Bear is amazing.
I did mention.
Okay, you did.
Yeah.
Right, yes, 100%. Yes. I mean, there's nothing taken away from your other beers. Spirit of the Bear, like...
The little glass, remember the little glass?
The little glass, picking it up at your dad's excavation business there.
Yeah, it was.
No, that was like, that was, and seeing like, you know, there's just these barley wine junkies down in Texas that are like texting about, they're putting on Facebook, like, I'm like, this is so cool, like, I just picked up this barley wine in Boundbrook, you know, like an industrial complex, yeah. You know, no. That was it.
Awesome. Yeah, man. I don't know. It's between Bear and Spirit of the Bear for me, but I know, Scott, you've had a lot more Esquihart beers than I have.
Probably not. I don't know.
Yeah, you've had more. Maybe not a lot more. But you brought one.
You haven't checked in as many as Dan.
No, I don't check in.
You brought a cool one for us to try. And this one, Bobby, you can probably give us some more context on the one that we're about to have. It's called Sunday with Squatch, and that's with Sunday spelled like a banana split kind of Sunday, yeah, so as opposed to the day Sunday.
This was from the one of the first bottles that was given to me by Bobby. I don't know, maybe not the first bottles that was handed to me by Bobby, but
it was one of the early.
Yeah,
ones.
It was early
after you picked up the beers in the garage.
It was handed to Bobby. Handed it to me. I remember him handing it to me, and everybody else being like, "Huh?
This was
why do I get one?"
This also was around the same time as the first Mandola. So this is a bourbon barrel aged imperial stout with strawberry, banana, cacao, vanilla, and walnuts.
You know what they tell you to definitely sit on stouts with fruit in them.
Is that what they say?
Definitely. All right, so I'm excited to try this because do you know the general time period where this was brewed?
This might be
pre-COVID.
Five or six years old now.
Definitely way pre-COVID.
It was before I moved out here, so five years, I'd say.
Okay.
6 years? 6 years.
Smells good.
Dan's got a pretty high standard for strawberry stouts.
It's okay. Not very, I don't really remember it being really strawberry.
More banana walnut.
Yeah.
Strawberry.
That's good. Yeah. for an adjuncted stout that's had that much time, still has a lot of flavor.
Chocolatey.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to wrap it up. So more coming up after this.
Season 4, Episode 12 of America the Brutiful. Thank you very much for staying with us, for sticking with us. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Now, we got a few questions before we close out tonight. Bobby, Priel, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it, you inviting us into your space. You have all this beautiful wood here. I can't get over it.
It's your wood.
Wink, wink. So, how much beer do you have for your opening weekend?
Enough.
That's great. You should be a politician. That's a great answer.
We're good. We're fine.
Are you at all concerned that you might run out?
Not for opening weekend.
So how many beers will you be having on draft for people?
So we will have 8 total for opening, 2 of which are very limited. So realistically, 6.
So I'm guessing when I hear 2 are very limited, these may be. Maybe higher ABV,
maybe a little special, maybe a little low volume types of beers, yes.
Nothing in a bottle, though.
Nothing in a bottle.
Exactly.
And you have some bottle beers, barrel-aged beers over at 12%.
I do. Yeah, so we have
All right. Can you,
a beer called Woodland Succession. This is the batch 2. So the first one I did was a homebrew. This is batch 2. It is just barrel-aged Imperial Stout in an 8-year Elijah Craig barrel for about 20 months. I forget what the label says, upwards of 20 months.
How many other beers you still have at 12%? Like, what can we expect of your beers coming out of there?
Do we need to go get them?
What's that?
Do we need to go get them?
Physically?
Yeah, can we just go in there and tell we want them?
You could try. I don't know.
You could probably pay for them.
Yeah.
Do like a raid and go.
It's hard enough for me to go get them, so I don't know.
Like, sorry, Timber Ales, we're taking our barrels.
Oh, you mean the barrels? Yeah, good luck. We have 12 right now bourbon barrels left of 4 different beers.
Okay.
So slowly over the next year and a half, we'll be releasing some barrel-aged beers through them.
Are there barrels there yet behind that little wall?
No. Okay. The barrels that we're going to do here are going to be in front of that wall.
Oh, that's not, I knew the,
that's
the plan wall was
for the wall.
Full transparency.
The wall
full transparency. I have no secrets.
Yeah, until people start playing with your barrels, and then you'd be like, no. Every brewery that puts their barrels within people's reach, they start doing, like, thinking that they can play with the bunghole and stuff like that.
Well, you're not going to have kids or dogs in here, right? So that shouldn't be a problem.
Kids are allowed. For now.
Were there a lot of kids at soft opening?
No.
I'll be honest with you, Bobby. I almost brought mine.
That's okay, though.
I did talk to you about it.
Would be his first, right? Or no?
Is Jackson mobile? Like, he's going.
Has Jackson been to a brewery yet?
He's moving. Like,
he's drinking now.
There's a lot of edges.
He's ready to go. He ruins.
Just 2% presents. That's
everything in my life that I knew was enjoyable is now ruined.
Once they're mobile, you're done.
You know, all those other.
You're hyping up this kid situation, man.
I will tell you this, all the other things that were not enjoyable before, like just sitting in the living room doing nothing, are now great.
No one void.
Yeah. The world just flips. You know that.
Of course.
You know, Dan, you know.
I don't. Maybe one day.
One day you will, and I cannot wait for that day.
You have cats, right?
I do have 2 cats.
There you go. Same.
Yeah. I can't wait.
let's get them married first.
So you mentioned, we mentioned earlier, you did a few collabs, you did Alternate Ending, Counterpart. You're just opening this weekend, so it may be too soon, but any talks, anything like that about any collabs in the near future?
We have some conversations with some people, but nothing planned yet. Mm-hmm. Mostly right now, mostly with Scott.
Tin Barnes.
Well, I'm it's 100%. It's whatever Bobby wants.
As of 5 minutes ago.
No, who slips six ships.
I can get that accomplished with zero problem whatsoever.
But other than that, mostly right now, everyone that we've done some with, I want to bring here.
You don't really need to worry about it yet, honestly. Let it.
I need to get the cobwebs out before come here and watch me fail while I'm brewing on this system.
The other thing is beer fest. Any beer fest coming up that you might be a part of? We might see some kind of, people might see your beer at?
Maybe Tin Barns Block Party?
Bobby and Brielle will be at Tin Barns Block Party on August 10th. Their invitation was put out way before they were ever officially a brewery. There was no way I was going to help host and put together a festival without having Bobby's beer there. We've had you at Lost Tavern. I've helped you get in. We were there. I mean, there's no doubt anyone that doesn't know Bobby's beer yet, once they try it, they're going to be hooked on it. I'd love to have him by August. You give him enough time to kind of get through the summer. And, we'll do something with Tin Barn and hopefully pour that at Block Party. So if you haven't gotten your tickets to Block Party yet, breweries are getting announced. Bobby's brewery has not even been announced officially yet on Tin Barn or my website on the Instagram. So that's coming. Just know that they're going to be there. And hopefully there'll be a Tin Barn Escal Heart beer on draft at that event.
This state, the state of New Jersey, is prime for a beer fest. They're the one at True, and they did that for a couple of years. It's been gone for a long time. But I think this town is perfect.
I think this town's
perfect for a beer fest.
Right? I don't know where you would put it, but sure.
The whole street.
Yeah, the whole street.
Shut down Main Street.
A block party?
Do it for a bike race. Let's do it for a beer party. Why not?
Do it for a beer
that'd
party.
That'd be awesome.
I think they'll do it.
Make nice with your neighbors first.
Neighbors love it.
Look, I think we can make this happen.
You
can
put a
little Oktoberfest action going on or something.
I'm New Jersey, born and raised. I'm from Hackettstown, so I know what a brewery in a town can do for the town. And we have Zigmeister in our town, and everything that happens in our town revolves around them.
Yeah.
Matt has figured out how to get involved with the local business improvement district. And if it's a Mayfest, if it's an Oktoberfest, if it's St. Patrick's Day, they will shut down that street, and it all starts at his brewery and ends at his brewery. So there's definitely, getting good with your town. That would be my first, my first suggestion and advice to you is make nice with your neighbors, make everybody like you, and then they can realize what you will do for this town. I have a business in Hackettstown, and I know that, I love that Zigmeister has all the events in town because it helps us. It brings people to our town. It gets people noticed to Hackettstown, and they can do the same exact thing here in Hackettstown. Time. Give it time.
So we're going to wrap things up. It's been a wild ride here. Listen, remind everybody, you're opening this Saturday.
May 4th.
Give the whole details, give the whole spiel, how people follow you, all that jazz.
So 20 Main Street, Highbridge, New Jersey.
Clinton.
Not Clinton. Google Maps only. And
Waze is good.
We're open from 12 to 9, May 4th, this Saturday. We'll also be open Sunday from 12 to 6. Follow us at Escal Heart on Instagram or what's our Facebook? Escal Heart Facebook. There's a bad one, though.
It's in Clinton.
Tan Bear Background is the good Facebook.
Tan Bear.
That's the color of the logo on it. The other one got hacked. So Tan Bear logo on Facebook is the good one. Other than that, we hope you all can make it out here.
I want to just say congratulations to the two of you. We love you both. I couldn't be prouder. Amber and I both. This is amazing. And, thank you for letting us be a little small part of the journey here.
Thank you.
And thanks, Dan and for having us here. America the Beautiful.
This guy forgot my name. I'm like, this guy, this Scott.
I haven't seen you
Scott,
in a
while. Welcome to the show.
I've had a beer in a week.
That's okay. I'm not offended.
I'll save it. So anyway, we're going to have a parking map, so I'll pull it right back. So if you go on our website, we'll have a parking
Shut up, Tom.
Map.
By the way, if you get lost in Highbridge, you should not be drinking. How about that?
Fair. I don't know. It's kind of easy to get lost around here, apparently.
It's a quaint town. It's
really yeah, you'll end up in Clinton.
No parking allowed through the front door because that happened here.
We will have a parking map online. Don't park in everyone else's business. It'll be a person.
All right. Until next time, America, drink up and stay beautiful. That includes you, Scott.
Slip.